Music?
That's the part.
Wait, are you recording anyway?
Yeah.
Are you playing?
You know what?
Posting.
Let's just do it.
Okay. I paused it. Okay. Morning. We are up to number 198 in the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, which I did not accurately title because I don't want to give away the shiur. But I'm happy to give you, I'll say this, an admission. You know, sometimes you look at the next mitzvah and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. And sometimes you look at the next mitzvah and you say, I want to make a shiur out of this, right? but you want to be intellectually honest. Like when I skip, I would tell you. We haven't skipped in a long time.
Okay.
And well, just give me a chance. No, because this is a mitzvah to do with Goyim. This is a mitzvah that has to do with Goyim. Okay? So, not only do I have a shiur, like, it's stuff I didn't know, and I'm thrilled that I spend time investing in this, because it really is different than what I thought it would be. Let's start at the beginning. We had done, before we got sidetracked with some Yom HaAtzmaut and Sfira Sa'omer topics, we're in the middle of a unit in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos that had to do with tzedakah and lending money as a form of tzedakah and things like that. And giving money, remember the mitzvah of Hanukkah, when your worker leaves, you have to give him severance. That was the unit we were in. What's clear in that unit, and what's clear to all of us, it's repeated many times in the Torah, is that it's a flat-out prohibition, it's a biblical prohibition on lending money with interest to a Jew. Okay? And as Mr. Wise said, there are ways to get around it for business purposes. Heter iska means you're really a partner, you're not lending it. But it's one of the most repeated and explicitly prohibited acts in the Torah, lending money with interest to a Jew. Okay? Now, you come to something here. Look in source number one, Pasuk in Perek Chaf Gimel of Devarim, that says as follows. The first part is easy. Lo sashich le'achicha, neshech kesef, neshech ochel, neshech kol davar asher yishach. Okay, it's a hard word, lo sashich and yishach. They're forms of lending with interest, okay, or demanding that you get back more than you gave. And that can be done, you know, again, we know it monetarily. Okay, I lend you $100, you have to give me back $105, whatever, you know, there's a percentage. But it could be done with food, it can be done with clothing, it can be done in any form, right? That I gave you something, and when you returned it to me, you returned it to me with more. Halacha l'maisa, and we'll get to this at some later date, you know, there are real issues. Like if you lend me something and I give you back more to show my appreciation, there are ribis issues. Here, I walk to the neighbor's house and I ask for 2 eggs, okay? And then that's not such a good example. Better example is I ask for 10 eggs. That's a lot, you know, because I have an egg emergency. And then
exactly.
I'm so grateful that I buy a dozen eggs and I give it back to, you know, it's a problem, okay? That's the first puzzle. But now comes what we want to talk about. Puzzle Chaf Aleph. However, la nachri tashich, ula achicha lo tashich. To the Gentile, what? What?
You should.
You must.
I just want to say, you look at a pasuk. We don't know anything. You look at a pasuk. We'll finish the pasuk, but I think that. Okay. La nachri tashich. To the let's do this. To the Gentile, you may lend with interest, or let's open the possibility. You should lend with interest, or worse, you have to lend with interest. But ulachicha lo sashich, but of course not to your brother. Brother again, meaning in all different ways, brother in Torah mitzvahs, whatever. But again, just note that it didn't have to say ulachicha lo tashich. Since in Pasuk Chaf, it already says, Lo tashich la'achicha. Right?
So that excludes everybody. You're right.
You have to find some meaning for that. And then the Torah says, L'ma'an yivarecha Hashem Elokecha b'chol mishlach yadecha, so that God will bless you in all of your activities. Al ha'aretz asher atah b'Hashem
l'rishta. Bless you. If you lend them, if you charge interest for the lend you, or if you don't give interest, is it
excellent. Excellent. Right. That's a good question.
Yeah.
What is it that the Torah is going to reward me for? Is it going to reward me for having lend to a Jew without interest? Or somehow is it going to reward me for having lent to a Gentile with interest?
There's a discussion whether it's an assay or a tassay,
everything you can think of is discussed. Meaning, but I think the insight was immediate, which is la nachri tashich. Well, how do I read that puzzle?
You're me.
Great. So you, that's fine. That's your shita. Again, I want to suggest, having done the research, you know, knowing the answer, but again, the three possibilities, which are, it's prohibited to lend with interest to a Jew, it's permitted to lend with interest to a Gentile, okay? Or you're obligated, in which case, like, bizarrely, if you lent to a Gentile without charging interest, you'd be in violation of some, you know. But what are you going to do? That's what the Rambam really thinks. Okay?
Your example with the 10x.
Yeah.
If the guy gives you back a dozen,
mm-hmm.
are you permitted to take it?
If it's a Jew, you're not.
I see.
Correct. By the way, it's such a serious prohibition. It's prohibited on both sides. It's prohibited to charge interest. It's prohibited to pay interest. Okay, it's absolutely so. You know, and it gets so exaggerated, like people start saying, even saying thank you might be a form. Anyway, but here we're into the Gentile situation. I said three, but then I couldn't think of it. Well, I'll say this. One is it's permitted,
yeah.
Right? One is it's you're obligated to.
Yeah.
Right, and I suppose, and if you didn't, bizarrely, you'd be in violation. I guess it's two. Okay, good. Let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam's position is very clear and kind of radical. And I want to be clear. I'm not going to hide from this issue. This morning I peeked, and the Torah Tumimah has like a long... The Torah Tumimah lived into the 20th century, okay? Had much to do with anti-Semitism. Came from Valozhin, you know. He has a long, basically, apologetic piece explaining how this is not really Jews disrespecting Gentiles. From which you know that it's pretty likely that it is, or that at least that's how you would read it. Okay? So look what the Rambam says. Vahamitzvah. So we'll have to do halacha, but we'll have to do a little bit of philosophy because you can't ignore it. Vahamitzvah kuf tzadiches, 198. He shet sivanu levakesh ribit min hagoy. I think it's hard to read it otherwise, as to say, the mitzvah, we are commanded to take a lulav, we are commanded to eat matzah, we are commanded to request the payment of interest from a Gentile to whom we're lending. Va'az nilvelo. And only then will we lend to him. Right? Sounds like the Rambam thinks it would be wrong to lend to him without charging interest. Ad shelo no ilehu, velo na'azorlo. Now, I have to tell you, the text of this Rambam, like the text of many, many of the pieces on this topic, are censored and were hard to put back together for obvious reasons. Because this was a flashpoint. It was a flashpoint halachically, but also you have to realize, you know, Jewish moneylenders, like throughout the years, it became a caricature. Like it became an anti-Semitic caricature. If you go, when I was in Krakow, you know, you could buy, it's good luck for Gentiles, it's anti-Semitic against this, these dolls. Mm-hmm. You know, like hook-nosed Jewish bankers with briefcases. It's supposed to be good luck, you know, to get rich. Okay, but it's, you know, that's as prominent an anti-Semitic caricature of the Jewish moneylender who's, you know, who's taking advantage of. But, you know, the Rambam's thing, it reads into it.
Which we were forced into, of course, by the church and by
How it happened is there's plenty of explanations. Va'aznil velo ad shalo no ilei, we shouldn't help him. Velo nazor lo, aval nazikehu. Right, we should hurt him. Va'afilu biinyan halva'a shenitna, even in the area of lending money. Kimoshu huzhanu me'asot kach li Yisrael. The Rambam sees I don't say that they're exact flip sides. Sometimes you have mitzvot that are flip sides. We've seen them before, right? There's a mitzvah to not do malacha on Shabbos, the flip side of which is to be mekadesh the Shabbos. There's a mitzvah not to eat chametz, the flip side of which is to eat matzah. The way the Rambam presents it now, this is the flip side of lending to Jews without interest. And of course, that means that you should lend to Gentiles with interest. Now, it's hard to know whether that's, you know, that's necessarily so, it's logically so. But again, we'll go back to the Gemaras. I'll show you Gemaras that prove either way. But there's also a Pasuk. Right? What's clear is the Rambam reads the Pasuk to say, La nachri tashich, you must lend to him with interest. Not that it's permissible. What I think the Rambam is hinting at is it gives more meaning to the mitzvah you have of lending to Jews without interest. I think on some level he's hinting at, well, what would happen to the mitzvah of lending to Jews without interest if you lend to everybody without interest? Okay, it's just a sense I have. I can't prove it, but the way the Rambam says it, wait one second, the way the Rambam says it, Kimo shehuzharnu me'asod kach leYisrael. I don't need that. I understand there's a mitzvah not to, but the way the Rambam says it is, I'm commanded to lend to them with interest, just like I'm commanded to not to refrain from charging interest to a Jew. Mr. Weiser.
Yeah, I'm interested, but I wanted to avoid that.
There is a discussion, it's not clear at all. There's a discussion whether Nachri means Ovdei Avodah Zarah or all non-Jews, okay? If it makes you feel better, and it does make us feel better to say we're supposed to be mean to idol worshippers but not regular Gentiles, that's fine. It's not at all clear. We'll come to the halacha at the very end. I'm telling you, the Mr. Weiser issue is raised by Rishonim and Achronim. Maybe it really only means...
He doesn't allow for optional. I mean, if it was
the
optional,
Rambam doesn't. The Rambam doesn't. Others will.
Sense.
Others will. Okay.
It also appears as if it's not.
I told you this would be a great mitzvah.
The action itself, that the reason behind it is the flip side from nothing is like to hurt him as opposed to not hurting the Jew.
Yeah, but that's correct up to a point. Lending without interest isn't not hurting. Lending without interest is helping. It's a form of tzedakah. The Rambam knew the time value of money. It's not...
That's what I'm saying. It's like here, he's emphasizing that not only the doing of the act, but the thinking or the purpose of it, meaning to what? He has to say Nezikah.
You're right. It's very harsh. Because you could say in the Rambam that if the going rate, you know, is 3%, charge him 8. Right? You're not really hurting... I mean, let's face it, everybody here pays interest. I have a mortgage. Okay? Everybody pays interest on something. I don't really think of it as somebody hurting me. I understand that
they're...
I think you're wrong. I think they understood fully what it meant. I think it was understood 1,000%. If you gave a guy 100 drachma for a year and you got back 100 drachma, you lost. It's a form of tzedakah. I'm convinced the Rambam knew that. I really am. It might not be as advanced as it is now, but I'm convinced that the halacha knew that. That's why it was a form. Otherwise, Sadie said, well, why did they have to pray? You know, the Torah, this is in the Midbar. So, yeah, there was very little of a, you know, I'm serious. There's very little commerce going on. Basically, what's your business? Everybody has the same business. Every morning I go out and I take mun. And then I watch cable TV all day. I don't, you know. So the Torah was setting the stage. You know, there are plenty of forward-looking halachos in the Torah. And it's clear HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah of, you know, not a single Jew had an issue with interest in the Midbar. In fact, my guess is, you know, they sat down and talked about it. And Moshe had to tell them what it meant. Like, I don't think there were currencies, right? Like, you know, I think you would have to explain to a person. Like, sometimes I think about it in terms of, why doesn't Torah deal with, you know, time travel? Why doesn't Torah deal with, like, something? So you go, well, they never would have understood. Right, it would have been possible for the Torah to have said, Moshe would have said in the Midbar, by the way, one day there's going to be a thing called electricity, and here are the rules about electricity on Shabbos. That's what most people understand, and I think that's true. But I often think of this example. Wait, he explains to them the, you know, rules of usury. That anyway, a side point, but an interesting side point nonetheless. Let's finish the Rambam. Third line, Vihine, towards the end. Ba lanu ha-perush ha-mekubal. Ki ze mitzvah, lo rishut. The Rambam is not letting you get out of it. Right? The Rambam knows you want to say, and he knows it's a machlokas also. The Rambam is saying, and I'll show you, it's clear that it's a mitzvah, it's not optional. V'hu amaram b'sifrei, and I have to tell you the truth, the Rambam has the plainest reading of the sifrei. Sifrei, again, meaning midrashei halacha, like almost mishnah, it's very important halachic sources. There the sifrei says, la nachri tashich, zo mitzvah taseh. Ula achicha lo tashich, zo mitzvah lo taseh. Now, there's a different reading of the sifrei, and we'll see it soon. But the Rambam says, the Rambam knows, and he's piling on. He says, it's not optional. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. He counted it, right? He doesn't count optional things. He counted it. And again, he doesn't even... No, he counted it. Now, nevertheless, I have to be clear. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvid, like dalet minin go matzah. The Rambam's not saying you have to go out every day and find a guy and lend him money with interest. That's clearly not. It's much more in the category of contingent mitzvahs, right? If you have a house, you have to put up a mezuzah, right? If you have a porch, you have to put up a guardrail. If you're lending money to a Gentile, you must charge him interest.
But then I think it's really important to know what the definition of this non-Jew is. If you're going to say that, is it a voter zora?
So let's work with non-Jew for now. Let's work with the biggest possible category.
Okay. Anybody's not Jewish is in this category.
That's what we call non-Jews, right?
Right.
It's almost by definition.
No, I was thinking of a case where somebody's converting. Before he converted...
Yeah, you want to get one last...
Okay.
Don't know.
I assume that the interest rate you charge him has to be a fair rate that you would be willing to pay versus...
I don't know. In fact, the way the Rambam says it, I think it sounds almost like you should charge him as much as you can. Overcharge him. You know, be a loan shark. I don't know. Let's just finish the Rambam. Ulezoha mitzvah gam kein tina'im d'rabanan. There are particulars midrabanan. Lukvayit v'ayah perish zob m'sech bab mitziah. It's very, very hard gemaros, and we'll come back to that. Okay? The Rambam's position is very, very clear. The chinuch is going to follow the Rambam, but the chinuch is going to try to explain. It's not going to make us feel any better, but it'll just make the position clear. Here's the chinuch in number 3. The chinuch says, the mitzvah is, shenitztavinu levakesh ribit min ha'umot kishenilvelahem. Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. First of all, he says min ha'umot, which would be harder to make Mr. Weiser's diuk. Umot, it would be hard to limit that to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It really sounds like non-Jews, right? The nations of the world. So we're commanded, it's mitzvah saseh, to charge them interest when we lend to them. V'lo nilvela hem below ribit. You can't miss it, right? And the adjunct to that is that you couldn't lend them without. Va'al zeh ne'emar la'nachri tashich. And again, when you put it in this context, it seems pretty clear. La'nachri tashich. It sounds like the Torah is saying you should do this. Ukimokein mutar lilvot mehem biribit. That's just another thing, and that we do that all the time, right? You can pay interest, which I suppose makes it a little better, in that we're not really discriminating against them. What we're saying is, hey, I pay you interest, you pay me interest. Jews don't pay interest, and I suppose then nobody's losing and nobody's gaining. If all Jews who do business with each other don't take interest, don't charge interest, and then the rest of the world takes interest and charges interest, it sounds to me that at least, in the philosophic plane, he's watering down the Rambam, or he feels differently than the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like, he uses words like nizikehu, let's make them pay. And here he basically is saying,
Why doesn't the Rambam say, don't lend money to non-Jews?
He doesn't, but he doesn't say that.
That covers the whole area.
But he doesn't say that. It sounds like he wants you to.
He also says kisha.
Correct.
The kisha.
But that has to be it. But that has. It's hard to read the Rambam otherwise also. It just doesn't make any sense that it would be otherwise.
If you go to the bank.
Huh? Right, but I don't think so. Okay. Let's see more. V'alzeh ne'amar sekelah la'nachri tashich u'kmo kein mutar levot mehem beribit v'amru b'sifrei la'nachri tashich mitzvah taseh u'lachicha lo tashich lo taseh. Same source the Rambam quoted, which sounds like it makes it a doraisa. Now, as we've seen before, the chinuch in every single mitzvah tries to give you a rationale. You know, mishor sheh mitzvah. Sometimes he refers to you elsewhere, but that's really, you know, the primary innovation of the Sefer HaChinuch was to combine halacha and hashkafa. Yeah. So let's see what he says. Mishor sheh mitzvah. She'ein, and this is hard stuff. She'ein ra'ui lanu ligmol chesed. It's not appropriate, I would say. It's not right for us to do acts of genuine kindness. Zulasi el ha'am. Other than to the chosen people, Yodei Hakel Va'ovdim Lifanav. People, Orthodox Jews. He didn't know any non-Orthodox Jews, I don't think. But, you know, Jews who worship God. Ubehimana HaChesed Mishar B'nei Adam. And when we refrain from doing chesed to other people, V'na'ase Oto Le'elu, and we do it only to Jews, Nivchan, it becomes clear. It becomes... Nivchan, it's a better word for Nivchan. We'll clarify, maybe it's a better word. Ki ikar ha'ahava v'hachemla aleihem mitzad hachazikam b'torat Elokim yitbarach. That our love and the graciousness and the kindness that we do for Jews has to do with the fact that they acknowledge the one true God and they worship him. V'hine, therefore, ima kavana zot, with this intention, yihye lanu schar b'miniyat ha-chesed mehem, will be rewarded from refraining from doing acts of kindness to Gentiles, kumo ba'asoteinu oto el b'nei amenu, which is different than how we do it for Jews. Here's my understanding. My understanding is, and it's hard for us, 21st century, you know, liberal mind or whatever, but here's how I understand it, and then everybody can disagree. What he's saying is, if you are a kind person, and you knew kindness for every single person you meet, which, let's be honest, we all aspire to, you're minimizing the kindness that you do for Jews. Right? The chinuch saw the world in the following way. Why do I do kindness for people? Because God wants me to be good to people who acknowledge God and who are good to God and who are religious and believe in God. And so if I start doing this, right? So Jews come to me, I lend to them without interest. That's a statement saying, you know, that you're my brother in Torah mitzvos, and because you accept God and we're part of the same team, I'm doing this great goodness for you. But if Mike Sullivan then walks in and I lend to him without interest, then the reason I lend to Jews without interest is not because God told me to and not because we share a common bond and belief in God. It's because I'm a kind person. And that, according to the Chinuch, undermines religiously and I think just even logically. Here, an example that we've all seen before. Somebody does something for you, and it makes you feel special, and you think to yourself, he must really like me, he must really care about me. You know, only his closest friends were invited to this party, and I'm one of them. Okay, and then you get there, and there's 100 people, right? So there's nothing you can do about it. You feel like I'm less special. It just has to be that way. You see the guy, you know, the guy comes over to you after you davened Musaf in Shul, you know, and he says, I just want to tell you, it was so great. I really enjoyed it. It was fantastic, you know, and you feel really good about it. And then you see that he goes over to the guy who leaned and the guy who davened Shachris, both of whom were not as good as you. I'm not telling a true story. I'm just saying it could happen. And he's doing the same thing. And you realize this is a nice person. It has nothing to do with you. It undermines, we all have had this experience, it undermines the specialness.
Was the concept of the righteous Gentile ever in the minds of Rambam
for sure,
or the Chinuch?
For sure, but not in this context. What the Chinuch is saying, and you know, it's true also, we all know that we would do things for family members that we wouldn't do for non-family members, right? And you know, it doesn't mean that I dislike this other person. If my daughter calls me from the Tzomet at 2 a.m, I'm going to get out of bed and pick her up. But if a wrong number calls me at 2 a.m. to ask me to go to the Tzomet to pick her up, I'm probably not doing it. And around in our neighborhood, if it's a non-Jew, I'm certainly not doing it. But, you know, we don't normally think of it as because I hate other people. It's because it's my daughter.
But isn't the Torah full of ideas or chazal that we do the mitzvot ben adam lechavero because we're commanded to? But
yes.
The purpose of them is to make us into better people.
Correct.
That's right. I mean, if you take this to its logical conclusion, then you have to say that ben adam lechavero, that whole concept means between Jew and fellow Jew, and it doesn't mean between Jew and goy.
First of all, it could be that that's what the Rambam thought.
My partner in my law firm for 30 years
right.
is dying in hospital.
Right.
I'm not really as obligated to go and visit him or take care of his family as I would for a Jew. That's the logical conclusion of what you're saying.
It could be.
It could be in the Rambam.
Now, you know, this is a lot to talk about, but I'm not going to deny the fact that it could be.
I see even more radical thing happening here. It's almost as if he's saying, mitzvot adam lechaveiro, i.e. Jews, is merely for the purpose of being, of bringing us as a collective to a greater relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Almost like as if the actual doing of the chesed is the ikar, ha'ahava, the chemla aleihem, mitzvah ha'zakim. It's only to strengthen Torah and the relationship with it. It really strips the idea of adam lechaveiro from what we think it's supposed to be.
So I don't think, I think that's true in this sense. I don't think it's true in the chinuch overall. And I think sometimes, you know, in the writing, to emphasize a point, the chinuch takes extreme positions to make that point. Because I think you look in Kibbut Avayim and other places, the chinuch sees a real value in. But it's true. He was a super religious thinker. And it all came back, like the chinuch thinks, what's the core? What was the Torah given? To make us better people. Why does that matter? Because God wants to be good to good people. And the better we are, the easier it is for us, for God, Ki'ilu, to be good to us. So it could be, you know, again, we don't know when the chinuch lived. But it could be that, you know, in the 1200s, which is a good guess, and certainly it's true for the Rambams, you know, yeah, that this was an accepted and acceptable position. But I started with this, A, because of the Shir and Rambam, and B, because there's no getting around it, but it's a major machlokas. And we're going to move on, and we'll see amazing things. First, let's just finish this chinuch, the last paragraph. He says, and look at this. Va'over al zeh, end of three. V'hilvahu belo ribit, mitorat chesed levad. Look what he does here. He says, if you lend to a Gentile without interest, to be kind, to be nice to that Gentile, lo mitikva elav lerevach imo, mitzad acher, o mipnei darkei shalom, bitel asei zeh. He just severely limited it. The chinuch does this a lot, you know, when he gets to the end. What is he saying now? He says, I'm not telling you can never lend to a Gentile without interest. I'm telling you, sad to say this, you need to, if there's an ulterior motive for lending to Gentiles without interest, then it's okay. Really,
you think you're going to get something out of it?
Hey, you think you're going to get something out of it? Or, you know, anti-Semitism, right? Darkei Shalom. They say, hey, you lent to the Jews without interest. Okay? So he's already chipping away at it. Because if you read the pasuk, you know, La Nachri Tashich, as an imperative, the Torah says, lent in with interest. Okay, so I would say the usual exclusions apply. Namely, pikuach nefesh. It's going to be a pogrom or, you know, then. But he's already chipping away at it. Now, let's look at the other position. There's a bunch of Rishon. Rashi on the Pasuk disagrees with this. It's easier seen in the Ramban and in other sources. Look at number four. The Ramban says as follows. I just picked up in the middle of it. Ubier bekan. Sheyihyeh ribit hanachri mutar. That's the money line. What did he just say?
Well, you're not high. I mean, you can do it. You're not obligated.
Correct. Yes. Correct. It's not a mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
When the Torah says la nachri tashich, it means I don't let you lend with interest to Jews, but you can lend with interest to non-Jews. That doesn't surprise any of us, mm-hmm. right? Everybody understands that when you lend without interest, you're losing out, right? The Ramban says, stop getting all worked up. The Ramban knew the Rambam, by the way, you know. Yeah. He says, don't get all worked up. It's not what it means. It just means it's mutter. V'lo yizkir kein. Now, this is just beautiful. So the question is, why did it have to say it here? Why did it say here that you're allowed to lend with interest to a guy and not in other mitzvahs? He says, V'lo yizkir kein begezel u'bigneva. Kimo she'amru gezel gai asur. Whereas it doesn't say in other places, because presumably those things are continuing to be prohibited. Aval haribit shehu na'ase ledat shnehem ubird sonam. The Ramban says, let's admit it. He doesn't have to pay you interest. He could go elsewhere. It's a business deal. I say, listen, if you want to borrow $100, you have to pay me 5%. So the Ramban, that's that. You do that with open. You're not cheating the guy. Ubird lo na'asar. So then why is it prohibited for Jews? So he says, Mitzad ha'achva v'ha'chesed. Kimo she'tziva v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Meaning, mitzad ha'din, in fairness, you should be able to charge interest to Jews. But the Torah required us to do a chesed in this area. Mandatory tztaka. Right? So the way the Ramban is saying it is just, there's no mandatory tztaka for Gentiles. For Jews, there's mandatory tzedakah. Why do you do it? It's a kiyum of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. It's mitzad ha'achva v'ha'chesed. U'kmo shema hishamer lecha pen yed davar mechal avavcha b'liyal. You're not going to lend to him because he's not going to pay back. V'al kein amar l'man yivarecha Hashem l'kecha. God will bless you for doing this. Ki chesed v'rachamim ya'aseh im echav. It is an act of mercy and righteousness. When you do what? Kashe yilonu below ribit v'techashev lo litztaka. Yilavei, thank you. It is mandatory tztaka, says the Ramban. But that's, it's like saying, that's lifnim mishur esadin. You can't make a person act that way all the time. So the Torah says, with respect to Jews, you have to act that way. He says, v'chein hashmita chesed ba'achim, same thing with shmita, where you have to like be mafkir your food, l'kach amar tanachrit, he goes, v'kava lo bracha, ki ha-katuv lo yazkir ha-bracha, rak bitztaka uv'chasadim, lo bigezel u'bigneva u'ba'ona'a. Right? What is the end of the pasuk? Go back to source number one, said, l'anachrit ha-shich u'l'achich lo tashich, l'ma'an yivarecha Hashem lokecha. The Ramban makes it clear. This was Avram's question at the beginning. It relates to, what does God bless you for? For lending without interest to Jews. That's a bracha. That's lifnim mishur hadin. I mean, obviously it's not, because it's the din. But it's mandatory chesed. Says the Ramban, very simple. The Torah makes clear that mandatory chesed doesn't extend to Gentiles. Why doesn't the Torah do this all the time? Why doesn't it say that about, you know, all the other mitzvahs? So the Ramban says, because here you would say, you know, here it's kind of, it's a regular business deal. And it's a regular, you know. Mm-hmm. So again, the Ramban, for all of us, bleeding heart, whatever, fixes it. It's fine. Don't lend to Gentiles. If you don't have to lend to Gentiles with interest if you don't want to. The Torah is just telling us, you don't have to lend to them interest free. Clear? Okay. Flip over. Now, the Rambam's not going to be new, but because we've seen it, but it's a clear statement. It's the first halacha in Parakev Hilchos Malva Velover. He says, Ha'akum v'ger toshav. Okay, now here akum is a tougher phrase. Akum could be, you know, over the Avodah Zarah. Okay. Again, you can't be medag so much. He used the word goy in the Sefer HaMitzvah, but again, it's translated from Arabic. So, you know, it's hard to make a diuk. Ha'akum maybe could be Mr. Weiser's point. Who knows? V'ger toshav, you know, sojourners. Lavin mehen umalvin otan beribit. You can borrow from them and you can lend to them with interest. Shenemar lo tashich la'achicha. La'achicha asur. Ulishar ha'olam mutar. Now, if you just read this, you'd go, that's not what he said in the Sefer HaMitzvos, right? Problem is, he continues. It's an awkwardly, you know, and he says, "Umitzvat asei lahashich laakum." It's a mitzvah asei shenemar lanachri tashich mipi ashmuah lamdu shezo mitzvat asei v'zehu din Torah.
Question.
Yeah.
Why is it
should actively go out and find a nachri to try to lend money to, because this is a mitzvah aseh.
No. So again, the Rambam knows there are tons of mitzvot aseh that are conditional. Again, that's not fair. The Rambam counts tons of mitzvahs that are conditional, right? You don't have to be mafresh, trumas u'maris in chutz la'aretz. It's a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. You don't have to bring karbanos. So it's, you don't have to exaggerate for the issue to be real. But the Rambam says, you know, so, but it's awkwardly worded because the first sentence sounds like it's mutter. The way I would read it is, with respect to a ger toshav, this might support Mr. Weiser's point. Maybe he really means, with respect to people who are not ovdei avodah zarah, it's mutar. With respect to Akum, understood narrowly as a person who worships idolatry, it's a mitzvah. That might help. Because I think the Rambam, he really saw them as enemies. He really saw them as religious enemies. And I think that's something we've lost. You know, like, here. Sorry for this. If your neighbor beat his wife, you would be less likely to do chesed for him. You'd be offended by that. And the idea of doing chesed, and if somebody else did it, you would say, what are you doing? We have to ostracize this guy. You know, I think the Rambam felt that way about Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It was a moral failing. It works because we think to ourselves, oh, we're so moral, right? It's just we're less religious. Right, we're offended. I think the Rambam would just say.
Avodah Zarah is a moral failing, but a Christian or Muslim maybe not, because
we could argue. All I'm saying is, whatever it means,
yeah.
Right? We, you know, we enlightened, liberal, open-minded people think, you know, live and let live. Of course, you would never say that about child abuse. You would never, you know, keep going. You know, cannibalism. I'm running out of really, you know, universally. Now we're running out of universally acknowledged evils.
Yeah.
But let's say those are three. At least in many communities. When I shut this up, I have a great joke, but I can't.
My wife, that was part of the culture.
Okay. Remind me at the end, but that's completely inappropriate, but it's great. Okay. So, again, I think to the Rambam, if you need a rationale for this, for Nazi Keu and things like that, the answer is yeah. He's a bad person. He's immoral. He's unethical. He worships idols. He's, you know, he stands for evil in the world. Okay? Now, Ravid right here, like the Ramban, he says it's wrong. Mitzvah tase la'ashich, you see, third line. Ad v'zeo dintor, Omer Avram, ani lo matzati shmuazo. I never found a source for this, it's not true. V'ulaita, but it is true, the Rambam has sources. The Rambam says the Sifrei. So he says, v'ulaita abba masha matzah b'sifrei. He probably misread the Sifrei. It's funny. He knows the Rambam used the Sifrei. It's just a cute way of writing. He says, shenem asham la'nachri tashich zo mitzvah taseh. He says, but that's not what it really means. Upeirusho, the real understanding is, mishum dehavale lav haba michlal asei, shelo yashich li Yisrael, ad kan l'shono. I'll explain. Rashi says the exact same thing on the pasuk. It doesn't mean you must lend to a Gentile. It means you may lend to a Gentile, showing how unique it is that you're not allowed to lend with interest to a Jew.
Showing the mirror.
Correct. Correct. The point is, it's not emphasizing that you're supposed to lend with interest to a Gentile. It's emphasizing that because you may lend with interest to a Gentile, obviously, what does that immediately remind you of? That you're prohibited from lending with interest to a Jew. Right? So it's lavor, Allah bishnei lavim, it's a lav haba michlal asei, is an asei. The prohibition to lend to a Jew with interest means you're commanded to lend to him without interest. Okay? Now, how does it happen that, you know, there's such a fundamental machlokas amongst Rishonim on, you know, what seems like... See, one of the failings of our Shia, it's not a failing, it's just we don't have time to. Almost always we deal with Psukim and we go to the Rambam and we skip Gemaras. Now, that's not always bad. Because here I really think that on some level, if you ask yourself, what's the machlokas, how to read a Pasuk. La nachri tashich, imperative, or permissive. But it happens to be that a lot of Achronim point out, there are a bunch of conflicting Gemaras. Okay? And so, in this case, I brought two, one to support each side. And you can see how you know, because the Gemara, and I don't mean this, it was such a poorly edited, you know, it's not like you could go someplace right. and look at all the sources on this page and get a conclusion. So if you ask me, I would say that, well, they read the Pesukim differently. Therefore, they read the Sifrei differently. Therefore, they used Gemaras differently. But let's look at it together. Look at number six. The Gemara in Bab Metzia, Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, says as follows. D'tani Rav Yosef. The Pasuk says in Mishpatim, Im Kesef Talve et Ami, et He'ani Imach. Which we generally darshan to mean you should lend to the Ani Imach. And here's the drasha. Ami v'nachri, if I have a choice to lend to a Gentile or a Jew, Ami Kodem. Nothing to do with interest. Obviously, you'd lend to a Jew. Aniva Ashir. Okay, why the rich person needs a loan, I'm not sure. Ani Kodem, obviously give to the poor person. Aniyecha va'aniye ircha. Your family or people in the city. Aniyecha kodmim. Your family comes first. Your own aniyim. Aniye ircha va'aniye ir acheret. Right, you could give to the Efrat, Chazde Efrat or Chazde Elat. So, Aniye Yercha Kodmin. Your city comes first. Now, asks the Gemara in the third line, Amar Mar, Ami V'Nachri, Jew and Gentile, Ami Kodem, Pshita. That's what I needed the Pasuk for? The Pasuk is telling me that if I have a choice, I should give Tzedakah to a Jew, of course. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Lo Nitzricha, Da afilu lenachri biribit uli Yisrael bechinam. It's telling you as follows. No, of course the Pasuk didn't have to tell you that in choosing between a Jew and a Gentile, you should lend to the Jew. But the Torah is telling you that when you have a choice to make, you have $100 to lend out, you could lend it to a guy at 10%, or you're forced to lend it to a Jew interest-free. Lend it to a Jew interest-free. What's the implication?
That you can charge interest to a guy.
That you can or that you have to? That you can. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So I think the Ramban and the Ravid would look at this Pasuk, this Gemara, and say, you see? The Gemara says, if you had a choice, okay? That's one possibility. Now, look at number seven. Here the Gemara is going to darshan Makos Chavdal Amalf Mizmor LeDavid. Right, we say this at funerals. Hashem Mi Agur Baalecha Mishkon Bahar Kachecha. Darshan is the whole thing. One of the psukim there is Kaspo Lo Natan Beneshech. He didn't lend money with interest. V'Shochad Al Naki Lo Lakach, and he didn't take bribes. You know, O Seela Lo Yimot Olam. These people won't survive. The Gemara darshan as follows: Kaspo Lo Natan Beneshech. Afilu biribit oved kochavim. He's so saintly that he never even lent to a Gentile with interest. It's hard to read this as other than supporting the Ramban and the Ravid, that you don't have to lend with interest. Whereas the previous Gemara, I want to go back on the previous Gemara, because I think in the previous Gemara, it clearly supports the Rambam. When the Gemara says, you know, that you had a choice of lending between a Gentile and a Jew.
Like a vada that you're going to lend with rebate to a goy.
Right. There's no such thing as lending to a guy without rebate. So again, I just think there's a classic example where you have a machlokas harishonim, and the answer is maybe it goes back to the pasuk, and maybe that's what colors your reading of the sifrei. But each of you have Gemaros, it happens many times, that seem to support your position, that either lending with interest to a guy is a mitzvah saseh, or it's permissive, right? Both can be supported.
Because you're saying otherwise, why would...
Correct, there's no reason for the drasha.
This tzaddik have even considered lending.
Correct.
Without.
Correct, there's no reason for the drasha unless the answer is that it's mandatory. I have a mitzvah to lend to a guy. What's the choice? Right? The Gemara says, let's go back. The Gemara says, person has a choice to lend to a guy, lend to a Jew, he should lend to a Jew. So he says, of course he should lend to a Jew. What kind of question is that? The answer is, no. There are two mitzvahs. He could lend to a Jew without interest. That's one mitzvah. Or he could lend to a Gentile with interest. That's another mitzvah. So the answer is, but you know, maybe the answer is lend to the Jew, because it's not really a mitzvah. But this is clearly a source in support of the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. Okay. Now, let's get some color on this before we come to... Uh-oh. Now we're never going to know.
You have 15 minutes.
Okay.
It's 9:45.
Where's my phone? Oh, it's in my pocket. Okay, good. Oh. I need it because I don't have a watch. Now, great. Okay. Now, look at this Shut Chasam Sofer. He's going to raise an interesting point, maybe an in-between position. It comes up in a lot of places. It's just the easiest place for me to find it and put it on the sheet. Number 8. It picks up in the middle of a long tshuva. Delo tzivta, by the way, that's not supposed to be three
Y's.
It's obviously three. It's the same key for periods, but you have to switch between English and Hebrew, okay, if you want to know. Delo tzivta lanu hatorah lahalvot la'akum. Kidei likach mimenu ribit. Says the Chasam Sofer to try to sort out the steers between Gemaras. He says, we're not commanded to lend to a guy with ribis. Ela she'im nilve oto, nikach mimenu ribit, velo nilve lo bechinam, lahachzik yado kmo li Yisrael achenu. See, at the beginning when I wanted to raise three possibilities, I was thinking of this, but I couldn't articulate it. He presents this as an in-between position, which is, it's not a mitzvah to lend to a guy with ribis. But you're not allowed to lend to him interest-free.
That's a Rambam.
Huh?
What's the difference between that and the Rambam?
Because the Rambam makes it seem like it's a mitzvah. Like you're mekayim a mitzvah asay.
No, that was your answer to David. You don't have to go out looking for the opportunity.
Yes, but it's a nuance, but I think it's an important nuance. The Rambam thinks that you don't have to go out looking for a guy to lend to. If a guy comes to you and says, can I borrow money? It's a mitzvah saseh to charge him interest. Right? And you're mekayim a mitzvah saseh. Says the Chasam Sofer, we'll read it and we'll come back. It's not like a mitzvah saseh. You're just not allowed to lend him without interest. Because then you're doing a chesed. It's like you have, you know, a discrete amount of chesed, and you're wasting it on this guy. Avalim narchik atzmenu min lahalvot lo klum lo bischar velo bichinam mizeh lo dibra haTorah. And the Torah didn't say you have to get involved in money lending, right? It's not a problem at all. This could be the Rambam, but I think it's a watered down version of the Rambam. It's not a real mitzvah. It's just that you're not allowed to lend to him interest free. If you choose not to lend to him at all, you're not involved in it, of course it's no problem. Mizela dibra Torah. Uba'u chazal le'esor ha'halva alo. And then Chazal came and prohibited lending to him. Vinachinami. Misha malvelo al yidei eze siba. Shi yihya adayin mechuyavu likach mimenu ribit al pidin Torah. But it happens to be, if you're going to lend to him, then you have to charge him interest al pidin Torah.
So this is trying to dissuade us from even lending to...
Well, watch what happens. It's hard to know. You know, the Chasam Sofer is the 1800s. It's hard to know what came first. But here's an amazing thing, okay? Look, go back to number 5. Okay, number 5 is the Rambam, the first halacha in Perek Hei of Hilchos Malva Lulova, in which he says, the mitzvah saseh min haTorah, to lend to a Gentile with interest. To lend to an Ovdei Avodah Zarah with interest, okay? Now, look at number 9. This is, I don't know why people don't use this when they talk about the development of halacha and how interesting. Look at number 9. It's the next halacha in the Rambam. Amru chachamim, I'm sorry, thank you. Asru chachamim sheyihyeh Yisrael malve et ha'akum biribit kitzutza. Okay? It's too great to be a stira. I mean, it's the next halacha. The Rambam says, Chachamim prohibited Ribit Kitzutza. It's a little hard to translate in this context, but, you know, outright interest.
Extortion?
I don't know. Ela bichdei chayav. Only for what you need for your income. And here's what they have. Gazrud was gzeira shema yilmod mi ma'asav Berov yeshivato imo. Chachamim came along and said, we don't want you lending to Gentiles with interest. Why? Because if that's how you do your business, you're going to start doing it to Jews. By the way, the proof that they were right is that try getting an interest-free loan in Israel from Jewish-owned banks, right? And we understand why it has to be. But it's a shocking thing that the Rambam says, the mitzvah saseh, and then Chachamim come along and say, yeah, but it's better not to do it. Unless you need it for your money, or lefikach. Now he's going to tell you what he thinks the halacha is. Mutar lilvot min ha'akum biribit. It's permitted to lend to them with ribit. Sharei hu boreach milefanav ve'eino ragil etzlo. If it's a guy, if he's not your neighbor, you don't have to worry about anti-Semitism. V'talmid chacham she'eino ragil bo lilmod mima'asav mutar lalvot la'akum biribit v'afilu l'harviach. Similarly, if you're a Talmud Chacham and we're not worried that you're going to be corrupted by this kind of behavior, you could do it. V'chol avak ribit im ha'akum muter lakol. And all things that are not direct, you know, you'll give me back, I give you 100, right? You'll pay me 5%. But all types of heter iska things, where you can make money out of the transaction by presenting it as an investment and not as a loan, the details don't matter to us. What's staggering is the Rambam, who took this extreme position that it's a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah to lend to a Gentile with interest, and the next halacha says, yeah, but Chazal don't really like it. And just so you'll know that it carries on to our day, and then we'll discuss, look at the last source. It's in Shulchan Aruch, number 10, in Yerodea Kuf Nuntes. Duvar Torah mutar lehalvot lovet kochavim biribit. So first of all, he's not passing like the Rambam, right?
Rambam,
Rashi, Ravid, all the things. And then he says, v'chachamim asruhu. But Chazal said no. Im lo kidei chayav, if he doesn't need it for his business, o letamid chacham, who's not going to be, you know, seduced by this, o biribit rabbanan, v'haidna mutar. But nowadays, it's okay. Really, you see, Rabbi Dr. Chaim Salvechi wrote a book about this, which I did not reread last night because it's really hard and it's in Hebrew and it's like this academic thing. But, you know, he likes to trace the history of the rules of Ribbis to, you know, to the history of Jewish-Gentile relations and the necessity to find Heterim maybe and to make it work. But here, if you forget everything, it's staggering, right? Let's just do the Rambam, because it's the most extreme position. And it's the most difficult to understand. The Torah says, lend with ribbis to a guy. It's a mitzvah saseh. Okay? Chazal come along later and say, yeah, but it's pretty bad, you know, because it teaches you to lend with interest, and, you know, maybe it causes anti-Semitism, and so they're here the loopholes. But now we do it anyway. Right, that's pretty much, you know, the flow of the halacha. So just as a halachic matter, it's problematic because Chazal can't paskin against a pasuk.
But I don't think they're right? doing
it. Well, maybe they're not. But Achronim talk about this. At least it's certainly possible for the Rambam. If you think that the Rambam says it's an imperative, right? And then Chazal say, but don't do it. So one second. So you could say the Rambam doesn't really think it's an imperative; it's a conditional thing, and just avoid that condition. But we should know something: there is a rule that says Yesh kach biyad chachamim la'akar davar min haTorah b'sheva al ta'asa. They can't tell you to do something that the Torah prohibited, but they can tell you to sit it out. For example, the Torah tells you to blow shofar, even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. It's not in the Torah. But we have this idea, Yesh koch biyad chachamim, they can't tell you to do something against the Torah, but they could tell you, just don't do it. That much they have. So you could argue that they exercise that authority here. But I think the better answer is, even within the Rambam never meant it as, you know, it was kind of a conditional thing. It wasn't really a mitzvah taseh min haTorah, even though he counts it. And so chachamim could, you know, start to chip away at it. But again, to me, the more interesting thing is that there was an awareness, clearly there was an awareness of Jewish-Gentile relations. There was an awareness of the impact that Jewish-Gentile relationships could have. The idea that, well, the Torah wants us to lend to a Gentile with interest, but we're worried that that's going to cause us then to become, I don't know, you know, greedy and to treat Jews that way. That's a fascinating idea. And, you know, it helps to explain a little bit that the dichotomy that the Chinuch seem to be supporting, which is you could be really, really nice to Jews and not so nice to Gentiles, it's not sustainable. In a world, you know, maybe in the Chinuch's world it was sustainable. When people, again, it's hard to talk about the Chinuch, we don't know who he is. But assuming he lived in Barcelona, and assuming there was anti-Semitism, and assuming that Jews really lived in a ghetto, you know, so fine, you could really act that way. But it could be that there's a situation where over time it developed that it just didn't make sense. The idea that I'm kind to people, to God-fearing people, it just doesn't make sense. And if you live, you know, if you live in Chutz Laaretz, and on one side you have a Jew and on one side you have a Gentile, the idea that you're going to be nice to this neighbor and that, it just doesn't work. Okay, you're offended.
Hold on, hold on. Go. This whole Shaka Matanya here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't mean that you have to.
Right.
This is the way I explain.
Yeah.
I explain a lot. You may.
Good. That's the Ramban. That's Rashi. That's the Ravid. But that's not the Rambam. Again,
it may be the Rambam walking back his own opinion based on what you're saying.
Right, but he didn't walk it back, meaning it existed. I think the Rambam is being... Well, listen, one second.
Can I say what I was going to say?
He's meeting me.
You might be offended. I just want to say one thing. The Rambam is exceptionally honest about this. He knew what he was going to write in Halacha Bet. He didn't write Halacha Aleph and then be surprised. I think he presented it honestly.
I think it's a misreading.
You think I'm misreading?
Yeah. Sorry to say. I mean, you've definitely done your homework with anyone in this room.
Go.
But when he says, Yisru Chachamim, Shiei Yisrael Malveta Akum Beribik Tzutza, the Isser is not alone with interest. The Isser is to take extortion of interest.
Okay, fine.
So in other words, and that will be...
And Shulchan Aruch? When it says...
Shulchan Aruch is Ramban anyway, so we don't have to...
No, that's Shulchan Aruch is Rambam, Riff, and Rosh.
I'm saying Rambam, not, Rashi.
Not the Ramban.
Yeah, Ramban and Ravid, right?
Forget the Mutar la'alvot lo'ved kachavim biribit. He doesn't talk about ribis kitzutz at all. Okay, it's 100.
No, but even according to the Rambam, who says that there's a mitzvah, positive mitzvah, to take interest.
Okay.
He comes along, he says, yeah, but you shouldn't exaggerate.
Great. Maybe you're right, but that's still against the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he said, you know, we want to be mazik them. We want to hurt them. It's not just a walking back. I don't think the Rambam did this. I think the Rambam is describing the halacha as he saw it from the pasuk through the sifrei to Chazal saying, you know, maybe this isn't working out. I don't know. I find it fascinating. Yeah.
Two points. First point is I'm a little surprised that no one mentions the advantage of lending money with interest to a guy because of Shemitah. We have to give up every loan every 7 years, but you don't have to do it to the guy.
Right.
That's explicit earlier on.
Correct.
And the second point is that I'm also surprised that no one says you shouldn't tell the guy it's because it says in the Torah, because that will make the guy hate the Torah and hate the Jew.
But I don't know that people...
Someone shouldn't be able to say, why are you charging me interest, you don't charge Jews?
It's clear that any kind of distinctions made... You know, again, going back to the Torah Tmimah, there's no question that this was seen as, I don't think, you know, whoever made the point about, well, we had to do it because the church prohibited, you know, they had similar halachos, right? Nobody, the difference is the Jewish community was doing just fine because people really did lend interest free. The church community was not doing fine because they didn't lend interest free,
right,
you know, and therefore, so it's true that we were kind of pushed into it, but... You know, again, starting with just the general ideas, I find more and more that ribis is, you know, it's like if you look at how Jews relate to lending to Gentiles, that's all you knew about a time period, you could guess the level of anti-Semitism. You could guess the level of cooperation. It really is a bellwether, and it's just fascinating to see that, you know, to a certain degree, if you just read, you know, Kuf Nun Tes in the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah says it's mutter to lend to Goyim. Chazal said, it's mutter to lend to Goyim with interest. Chazal said, don't do it, and now we do it. There could not be, a better simon in Shulchan Aruch to look at in terms of how these things develop. Okay? Sure. We did find stuff to talk about.
Joe?
About, huh?
Joe. You didn't deal.